Today on the Scott Radley Show on 900 CHML.
I am quite sure that if you live in this city, you know and are familiar with the story of Jude Strickland. He was the 11-year-old Hamilton boy who was struck and killed by a pickup truck driver who was speeding and had drugs in the truck and had 9 Highway Traffic Act violations on his record. This was back in December of 2020. Well, the case was back in court this week for a pre-sentence hearing. And it is, say, you're familiar with this, you understand, it is heartbreaking. Anyone with a child could probably try to imagine what it might be like to go through this. Someone who knows, though, exactly what it's like to go through this is Jude's dad, Jamie, who joins me now. Jamie, thanks for taking the time today. Really appreciate this.
Yeah, hi, no problem.
This has to be, I would guess, bringing all this up again, having to go back to court and everything else this week. I'm guessing this is probably a very difficult week for your family.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yesterday when we were in online court, I guess it was a very emotional and exhausting day. Yeah, kind of just brings our memories back to losing Jude and just all the, yeah, just everything afresh. So it has been a hard last day or so.
I mean, I say this respectfully, thankfully, I've never gone through what you've had to go through. And I think that most people probably feel very fortunate that they haven't. I imagine every week, every day is tough. Does it get any less tough as time goes on?
I think yes and no, I guess you could say, because in the immediate hours and days and weeks following Jude's death, it was just a blur. It was a fog. Everything was hard. And then, you know, as time goes on, slowly, the deep hurt and the freshness of the wound, I guess, heals. But there's still constant daily reminders that he's not with us, and the hole that is left in our family and in our hearts. And so, you know, some grief definitely comes in waves that are unexpected. Sometimes, yeah, it's at things that, you know, just as we're driving, we hear ambulance sirens in the background, and it just brings us back to that day. Or I see someone else speeding when I'm driving, and it really hurts me to the core, thinking that it was the same type of recklessness that happened on that day that caused Jude's death. And so, yeah, there's regular reminders, but again, in some ways, time does heal the hardness, I guess, of day to day moving on, I guess.
I'll tell you a big reason that I wanted to have Jamie on today, and it's for something a little bit unique, because there are families who come to court for the sentencing or for the hearing of those who've harmed loved ones, and they are enraged and seeking some kind of vengeance from the courts. And look, I've not been in their shoes, and I'm not judging them for their feelings. Until you've been there, who knows how you might think or act. You, though, Jamie, and your family, I've been so interested and so amazed by your family's reaction. You've not been like that, not outwardly anyway. Why not?
Yeah, I can definitely understand why people would feel the way they feel. I do have times where I feel anger and hatred, for sure. But we... you know, one of the things that's really held us in this time in the past year and a bit has been our faith. And you know, we're following the teachings that we truly believe that Jesus has taught us to forgive those who have done things against you, and to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And I've just seen that is a better way than trying to hold anger and resentment as a way forward in life. And you know, one way I think about it is, failing to forgive is like drinking poison and hoping that it harms the other person. And I just have seen how, in smaller instances, how people who fail to forgive have just been bitter and resentful, and it's harmed the rest of their life. Whereas I think it's way more freeing and in a way to move forward in a more healthy way is to seek rather as much as possible, and it is a struggle to forgive and move forward in that way.
I was going to say, I was glad you added that last bit, because I have to believe that, you know, saying that and wanting to do that is one thing, but actually doing it, I imagine there's times when it must be very difficult to do that.
Oh, 100%. I think sometimes what I've learned about forgiveness is that it's granted before it's felt. And so you have to, sometimes we wait till we feel something in order to say it is, but instead we have to forgiveness is something that we give to someone, and then we can slowly move forward and begin to feel it and realize and actualize it in our experience. But it is 100% is hard. It's not easy. When you forgive, forgiveness requires a debt, and it's either going to be paid by you in your forgiveness or by the other person. And so I think it does cost something, but I think it also frees us to live in a more healthy way moving forward. And that's what we want to model. Like, that's what we're taught to do, from our faith, but it's also something that we want to model to our family, to our remaining boys. We still have three awesome sons that we still have, and we want them to see us living out our faith in real life in ways that shows that it's not just a Sunday activity that is kind of meaningless in the other 6 days of your life, but it's actually the best way to live, and we truly believe that.
And again, it's so unique in a circumstance like this, and that's why I find it so fascinating. But even what you're saying, do you feel like a forgiving person, or have you simply said, I'm deciding that I will forgive regardless of how it feels?
I think that's how the second part of what you said is how we definitely start. And I just need to choose to forgive. But as I live it out now, it just feels right, even though it's hard. So I guess if everything in life was that was right was easy, we would all be always doing the right things. But often doing what's right is the hardest thing to do. And that's just what we've made a decision to do, because we do think it's right. It's good for us. It's good for society if more people forgave and held less bitterness. But obviously the debt, in some ways the debt can never be repaid, right? Like the debt that Mr. Aubert has toward us because of what he did, he can never repay that. So in a sense, if we're just going to live the rest of our life saying, well, I'm going to hate him until he repays the debt, well, it's just impossible. And so that's where it just remains on us. How are we going to choose to live now, holding on to this debt that can never be repaid and expecting it to be repaid, or forgiving it as best we can day by day and seeking to make the most of the rest of our lives, and hoping that in many ways that enables him to make the most of the rest of his life. And it would just be our hope and prayer for him that he would turn his life around from some of the things you mentioned at the beginning, could be a positive member of society moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's so difficult even to ask this next question because, again, none of us have been there. But when you're talking about this, and forgiveness is such a heavy word and a loaded word, when you were watching the proceedings yesterday and you saw him, do you feel the same way today after making the decision to forgive as you did back then? Or, like, how do you look at him?
You know, in some ways, it'll be different if on April 5th, when the actual sentencing happens, we're in person. In some way, it's hard to process some of these things just over Zoom, where you see another individual on a little box on your screen through pixels and that. I think it'll be a lot different and perhaps harder. And we plan on attending the sentencing, and we do hope it's in person, so that I think it will help us with some sense of closure, but it, yeah, it's been hard for the past year where we didn't even see or know who this person was. And as we slowly get to know about his character and some of those things, in some ways it made a difference, but in other ways, it's still just that decision. And the bigger thing for us isn't the pound of flesh that you know you think we would want or something, but it's more we've lost Jude, and it's almost mm-hmm. too much to like. So much of our emotion and our day-to-day life is losing him, but also hoping to make, in order to make Jude's life even go beyond his 11 years, is helping live out some of the principles that we saw in his life in those 11 years, which is kindness, which is showing love for other people. And if we all of a sudden just, in the greatest tragedy, when it perhaps means the most, become totally different people or live in a way that wouldn't honor Jude's life or the faith that we, our Christian faith that we proclaim to live, it would just kind of be meaningless, and it would almost harm Jude's legacy and our own faith. So in a sense, we make the decision in some ways based on what we know is right, and then we trust that our feelings will slowly follow moving forward, but knowing that that is the best and most healthy way for us moving forward.
Jamie, I have to believe that over the last year and 3 months, whatever it is, that you've probably heard that from people too. You've probably had people coming up to you and saying, how can you possibly do that?
A little bit, I guess. Yeah, sometimes people don't really know what to say when they talk to us, or they feel kind of uncomfortable to talk about just because they don't want to upset us or that. But yeah, it's hard to know how anyone would respond in a specific situation. And obviously, we didn't know how we would respond. We were never obviously expecting something like this to happen to us. But we have really felt like that it's not people, we haven't been walking alone in this. And in many ways, I don't know how someone would go through this without the community, the family of at our church at West Highland that have walked with us very closely in this, provided for us help. We felt like we've been carried with them by them practically, but also just, and we constantly are hearing people, you know, we're thinking of you guys, we're praying for you. And we know that we're being empowered by the prayer of people who really do care for us.
There is a question, and look, I've asked you a bunch of difficult questions already. This one, I don't know if you have an answer for this, but it's a question that comes up when things happen at times. And that is, why do bad things happen to good people? You're living this right now. Have you come up with an answer for that question personally?
Well, in some ways, I don't know that I'm okay. I think we're all people who struggle with different things. So, but I get what you're saying. You know, we believe that, and we trust in a God who is sovereign, who knows the beginning from the end. And so from this, we've had to trust that even if we don't understand the reason why, that that God has had a purpose in this. And as Christians, though, as well, we don't believe that that December the 1st, and then when he eventually passed on the 3rd, was the end for Jude. One of the things that keeps us going is the fact that we truly believe that Jude is happier at this moment than he's ever been before. As he's in heaven, and one day we will go again to be with him. And so our hope is in that we will get to see him again, and we will rejoice with him. And again, that's not just a quaint thought that, you know, looks good on a bumper sticker or something. Like we actually believe that we will see him again. That if this life was all that there is, then it would be even that much more devastating. But But we miss Jude now 100%, but we do trust that we will see him again.
You've mentioned a couple times that you are a pastor. Have you ever had to, prior to this, had you ever counseled someone who, obviously not the exact same circumstance, but had you ever sat down and counseled someone who had gone through some sort of horrible loss?
Yeah, not to this degree, for sure. But for going through something like this has increased my empathy for other people going through things in a way that I would have never understood before. At the beginning, it was very hard when I would hear people complain about their days or their circumstances, and you have to learn to not play a comparison game whereby someone says they're having a bad day because, you know, they broke their coffee mug or something. It's just like, okay, well, I just lost my son, right? Like, you just can't live in that space. But I do have a lot more empathy for people who do struggle with loss or just different things in their lives, because I know how much, you know, everyone you meet is going through something. And so sometimes we don't understand people's responses to certain things, but we just don't know what they're going through. And so I think generally this has helped me become a more empathetic person, even if I don't know what they're going through, because everyone's going through something. It may not have been as big or as bad as what Vanessa and I have gone through, but for them it's big and it can affect their day. So it has helped me overall become a more empathetic and hopefully caring person.
Just before I let you go, because we are short on time, I wish we could talk about this for a few hours, because I think it's that important. But just in the time we have, you mentioned that people don't know what to say. And I think that's, you know, if nothing else, we don't know what to say when something like this happens to someone, whether it's something as tragic as this or even someone's parent dying. I think most people have no idea what they're supposed to say to try and make someone else feel better. You've been on the side of it now where you've been getting the comments directed to you, the good ones and probably the ones that you roll your eyes, honestly, at a few of them. What is the thing that someone or some people have said to you that has actually helped?
Right. Yeah. Well, we could take a whole nother show on this one, which I'm open to, but to helping people with this. But there's a few things. You can't necessarily cause harm by asking about the person. So I appreciate it when people ask questions like, tell me about Jude. It's meaningful to be able to tell people about you. And that's why even, you know, today, why I said yes to even come on the show, just to share about Jude, share about our hope. So asking questions about the loved one that they've lost is helpful. I think immediately following the tragedy, we had about, you know, thousands of people probably literally saying, if you need anything, just let me know. And that's a nice thought, but it's not super practical. It's what's very helpful is sending a text, hey, I'm at the grocery store. Do you need anything that I can bring over? When there's like very concrete things, like I'm willing to bring you a meal on Thursday night, it just makes it a yes or no for someone in the middle of their grief. But just kind of the generic, hey, let me know if you need anything, it's not that helpful, because it just puts more pressure on the person grieving. So that's just a few thoughts, but there's a lot of trying to compare your story of grief with ours, especially in the early stages, isn't helpful. So saying, you know, I also lost my pet earlier this year, and so I understand what you're going through. It's just like, it's not helpful, right? So comparison stories, like, it's more just, you know, tell me about the person, or just a little, I'm thinking about you, I love you, little notes to say that you care about the person. And again, even just asking about the loved one that was lost, if you didn't know that, like, it's meaningful for us, even if we would be tearing up as we do it, it's meaningful for us to tell people about Jude. And that's why when we can, we like to take the opportunities to tell people about him.
That is Jamie Strickland. Jamie, you and your family are remarkable, let me tell you. And father of Jude, you've been reading, everyone's been reading about Jude for over a year now. That's the guy who, that's the father right there. Jamie, really appreciate the time today. Thank you for doing this.
All right. My pleasure.
The Scott Radley Show. Weekday evenings from 6 to 8 on 900 CHML.